Woo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on Hump Day. This hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Final hour of the show. We'll get into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes from right now. Yeah, maybe mention last night. Don't really have to. We'll move on to tonight.
Let's get ready. Let's go, boys.
Got to win tonight.
Let's go, boys.
A must win for the Atlanta Braves to keep alive with Max Fried on the mound. We'll get to that in just a minute. We are broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. Head coach Raheem Morris is going to join us here in about half an hour or so when practice is over. If you missed our conversation with Chris Lindstrom, he stopped by at about 11:02, right off the bat. Wanted to talk Braves. He was like, okay, you guys could talk to me about blocking. That sounds fine. But he had his Braves shirt on, and he was fired up about the game tonight. So we did actually talk to him a little bit about the Braves as well. But if you missed that conversation with Chris Lindstrom, check it out on the website, 92.9thegame.com, where you can get all your Andy and Randy action every single day.
Oh, man. My boy Samson was telling about this new TikTok thing that they got going on, that the kids are stealing the tassels off of the zippers, Andy. I don't know. He's like, yeah, cause I saw his book bag. I said, why? Because he has a tag with the book bag we bought him. He's like, I took it off. I was like, what's going on? He said, these kids are stealing them. I was like, get the hell out of here. They're stealing them and doing what? He said, reselling. I said, they're not reselling nothing. Okay. And soon, now this was a couple of days ago we were talking about. I saw it on the news today, Andy. They're and reselling. This little, you see the little tassel in my book bag?
Oh,
this
yeah.
A little tassel.
Why would that
I don't know.
Be valuable?
I don't know, but they're selling them and people are buying them. And I kept thinking to myself, like, are you frick? It is off a specific one.
Mine are leather.
Yeah, they're stealing this off the.
You probably get a penny for that.
The Nike Elite bag. I guess they have a different one.
Oh, because some of them have special stuff, I guess.
Like what?
Oh, I don't know.
But they're stealing them, and then kids are rebuying them. And so he was like, yeah, I took mine off. I ain't no one, nobody take mine. I said, first of all, somebody take your stuff. You know what time it is. But I was thinking, like, what's next? We at least ain't nobody physically harming it. They're just stealing. You know,
well,
yeah, they just stealing.
But if you get caught stealing, somebody might physically harm you. Yeah.
But I was just thinking, I was like, what's y'all ain't that bored.
I think they are.
You can't be that bored, man.
That bored and that influenceable. You know what I mean?
I think that's the more
because no, somebody thought of it. One guy thought of it, and then it was like, oh, let's do a TikTok thing. And then now everybody's like, oh, it's on TikTok. I'm going to go do it. And so now they're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like when people started eating Tide Pods, I was pretty well convinced that first of all, we're screwed over.
Right.
Like, we're done. And also, anyone could be influenced to do anything.
Right.
Like, if that's something that the internet could convince you that you should be doing, then we're done. Like, I don't know. Stealing backpack tassels is nothing compared to eating Tide Pods.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know
but
what
I'm
I mean?
Like, what would make. And that's the thing. If you buy stolen.
Ask the question you were about to
ask. If you buy them, what is wrong with you?
Maybe you want to buy it back.
You know what I mean? Like, if you buy
my tassel back.
If you buy the tassel, so is it the kids who got their stolen they're trying to
buy it back?
Or is this thing where, you remember where everybody would have all the bracelets on and see how many you can have?
Yeah.
Is it if you want to have all the tassels on your book bag?
I don't know.
I don't
but
get
also,
it.
But also, if you have a whole bunch of them, everyone knows you're a thief.
Or a dumbass, they bought them.
Or you bought them. Yeah, that's true. God, I don't know, man. I don't know. You guys have we've been hit with the how are you supposed to respond to this nonsense stories twice in the last 10 minutes. We got salmon sperm being injected into people's faces to stay young.
Yes,
and we got people stealing tassels off backpacks.
Can we please stop saying stay young?
Yeah, because you're not because
you're
young.
Not going to stay young.
You're going to age at the exact same rate as everyone else because time goes that way.
Yeah.
The time-space continuum stops.
You're going to have a 25-year-old face with a 75-year-old body.
And here's the thing. Right? Here's the thing about that. No, you're not. You're going to have a weird-ass face with a 75.
Because I ain't never seen one look good.
There isn't one.
The only thing that don't crack is black.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, there are older people who've done a really good job of staying fit and eating healthy, whatever. They've got good genetics.
Yes.
A lot of it has to do with that. There are older people that look great, but I don't think it's because anybody injected themselves with anything. The people that inject themselves with stuff, they all look weird as hell.
Yes.
And especially now, all this stuff where, like, you look surprised.
Yes.
And, like, you can't smile
Let
anymore.
Me get some of that paint count. Yeah, put it above my eyebrow so it can go all the way down to my face. Like, eventually,
shoot it in there. So
eventually, they're
going to
have a rock face. You know, this face is going to be hard. You know, and then... so, no expression.
Know,
I don't get it.
I like an aged face. You know what I mean? I do. I like a little life, you know? Somebody's lived a little bit. Oh, you smile a lot. Look at that. You got a smiley.
Yeah, but you got.
Ooh, that guy's mad. Look at his frowny face.
You got the tight face with arched eyebrows.
I like a little gray in your beard.
Yeah.
Look at both of us in here sporting a little gray flex in our beard.
Flexing it.
You know why? Because we're in our 40s,
and
Randy.
And I don't give a damn about it either, man.
I'm proud to be in my 40s.
I mean, if I'm back in them streets, I might get a beeswax. Not beeswax. That's what's been twisted. Or Beijing.
No. If
I was in the streets.
Just to trick them?
Yeah. I would go get that. I would go back to my Latin barber, and I would let him get that razor edge right there. put that Fat Joe Beijing on there.
I just feel like
be looking like them. Remember Carlos Boozer?
Yeah,
like Boozer.
No, absolutely, I remember that. My question is just always, and I guess this doesn't matter. I'm thinking too far down the line. If you trick them, you got them. That's fine.
Right.
What happens? Like the next time you see him, are you just going to diet every time?
Yep.
Or eventually you're going to have to come clean and be like, you know what? I'm actually a little older than I was.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. I tell you that. I mean,
I think just be yourself.
That's easier said than done.
Well, because I'm me.
Exactly.
Yeah. If I wasn't me, maybe it wouldn't be so easy.
Don't change for nothing. Don't change for nobody. But yeah, another dumbass trend. We'll see how that happens.
Yeah. I would just say don't steal from people. That would be my advice. Yeah. If you're thinking about doing the TikTok trend of stealing people's backpack hassles.
Don't do that.
Don't do it, because stealing isn't very nice, and we're trying to be nice. All right, let's get to the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Bow!
I feel good. I feel, you know what? Again, we got to win tomorrow. It's not about, we don't have to win two in a row. We just got to win tomorrow. So
that's it.
And I like, we're sitting pretty good with Max Fried on the mound for us tomorrow. And like I say, the bullpen had a day off, which is really good. And we'll, you know, it'll be all hands on deck again tomorrow.
Let's go. Let's go, Max.
Yeah, the Braves play the Padres in game two of the wild card series tonight. They obviously lost game one last night, 4-0. A.J. Smith-Shawver ended up being the starting pitcher last night. Didn't do great. Got pulled after an inning and a third. Didn't matter because they didn't score any runs in nine innings. So whether if it was Chris Sale going nine innings and giving up one run, or A.J. Smith-Shawver doing what he did,
they scored no runs.
Wouldn't have mattered if they didn't score any runs. Now, tip of the cap to the Padres starter last night, Michael King. He was outrageous. Like, that was that was a pretty good performance that he put on.
Did it seem like every time the Braves got, like, threatening with one out, he struck the next two batters out?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
It did. It also felt like every pitch he threw broke 10 feet.
Yeah.
And no one had any chance to hit anything that he threw. Now, Max Fried's better than Joe Musgrove. Last night, their starter was significantly better than the starter that we started. Tonight, our starter's better than their starter, and that has to matter. Max has got to be really good. But he also got to score some runs, man. Like, no one's asking you to go out there and score 15 to be great if
it
you
was
did,
three.
But I don't think you're going to. Yeah, I think you can win tonight if you score three runs.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, Max has got to go. And there's nothing that's telling me that he won't. I'm not going to say it. But he's got to go. But when you got these runners in score position, you got to get them home. And you talk about manufacturing. Well, it's too late the damn season to start manufacturing stuff.
Yeah.
They already are.
They need to hit some home runs.
Yeah, hit some home runs.
Flat
exactly.
Out. The Braves need to hit home runs.
That's what they need to go
win.
Do today. Yeah. They need to prevent them from doing it, and they need to do it. Because it ain't going to be no button to move the guy over or anything like that. We understand that. But they need to go. And these top five guys, they got – when they get the opportunity, because you remember the day before, I was like, why does it always seem like when the Braves got runners on bases, it's RC and the boys of the bat?
Yeah.
They had opportunities. The guys that we
did.
Beat it up.
They did.
They had opportunities and didn't cash in.
Yeah, no, Ozuna was up with runners in scoring position and didn't get it done. Soler with just a horrifying at-bat in the first inning last night with runners in scoring position. Michael Harris had a nice night. He got on base a couple different times. With Harris, I know they stole a base with Albies last night.
Let him run. Let him run.
I don't know who else.
Let him run.
Who else runs, though? Like, no one else really can.
What's about, man? Ozuna could go.
Right. If you yes. Yeah. Well, just let's let Ozuna steal all four bases at once.
Okay? I'll tell you.
Hit it over the fence, and then you could steal all four
bases. I'll tell you what's funny was the little D slide in the second base.
It was a good slide.
It was a great slide. Yeah. But he took off so damn far.
I thought he ran himself
I was like, oh, God, he's not going to make it.
I get being aggressive
and all
that.
He's not going to make it.
Yeah. No, it was a nice slide from him. But, look, I mean, it's – it's no one's going to be coming up with anything, I don't think, revolutionary about what needs to happen tonight. It's win or go home.
They struck out 15 damn times last night.
Yeah, they did.
15 damn times. Mm-hmm.
And I would say a lot of those were non-competitive at-bats. A lot of those were just, you might as well just go sit down. Like, yep. you don't have a chance to even put the bat on the ball. And part of that was because of how well Michael King pitched last night. But a part of it was the Braves just have had a bad approach at the plate for the majority of the season. A lot of these guys have just had a bad approach at the plate. And some of these guys just aren't particularly good at hitting anyway right now. So that doesn't help either. But if you want the season to continue,
you got to go hit today.
You got to win tonight.
You got to go hit. They got to find a way to
I don't
hit.
Think there's any, you know.
No, there's not a lot to it.
There's not really yet.
Yes, there's not a whole lot of keys. You got to do this, this, and this. No, you got to hit the damn baseball.
And I mean, if you can avoid giving up a first inning home run to Fernando Tatis Jr., that'd be good. They got a nasty lineup.
Dude.
Like, I knew the Padres were good, but then you just kind of sitting there last night. It's like, damn, Xander Bogaerts bat sixth? Jack Cronenworth bat seventh? What are we doing?
And then they got two of the most dangerous hitters along with those guys in baseball.
Yeah, you got Tatis right up there up top. Jerks and Profar's having a great year. He's going to get paid a whole bunch of money this offseason. It's like, and then they pinch, and then they put the catcher at the bottom of the lineup. Again, the catcher who hit that home run last night and the pitcher who started yesterday, they got him with the Yankees for the trade for Soto.
Oh, okay.
So well done
for
them on that one. But that lineup is deep, man.
Yeah, man.
Like, that lineup actually, in some ways, reminds me a bit of what the Braves lineup looked like last year.
Yep, real.
It's just like every guy.
There's no pitching around anybody.
Dog it, man. And they had the best batting average in baseball this year. I mean, they have guys from top to bottom. That is not something that the Braves have. They've got pretty good lineup 1 through 5.
Yep.
So,
and they got to carry today. They got to carry it. Ozzie, you got to bat off your shoulder. I mean, you're batting right-handed with how we want you to bat, but no, they got to get at least 4 today.
Yeah, they do.
They got to get at least 4.
Also, if they give up 4, remember that number we had earlier in the year? It was like if they give up 4, they were 0-26.
Yep.
I think they ended the season something like 11-47. Well, they gave up 4 last night. So that's the key. Don't give up 4, because if you do, you're going to lose. If they score 4, pretty good chance they're going to win. Hopefully the season doesn't end tonight. Max Fried, Southern California kid. Maybe that inspires him. I don't know. I hope they win.
I just saw that funny clip you were telling about earlier.
It wouldn't surprise me if they don't.
Larry Nance Jr., vocal leader.
Yeah. Yeah. The Hawks. Hawks basketball. There's a lot of people listening right now that didn't even know Larry Nance Jr. played for the Hawks.
How do they not know that? Because they're supposed to also be listening because it was a Sports Jeopardy question last week.
That's true. Larry Nance Jr. from Wyoming.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I don't know. He seems like a leadership guy.
He's the oldest, one of the older players.
He's got kids.
So does Trey.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, is going to join us. Maybe not right after the break, but like pretty soon after, because they're still practicing out there. But when they get done practicing, he's going to stop by and he's going to talk to us. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day. Hey, congratulations to Gabe Cook.
Ready to go, Atlanta. Gabe.
Gabe's going to see Anderson Paak and the Free Nationals on Sunday, October 13th at Lakewood Amphitheater, courtesy of Andy and Randy. We're happy to put you out there. I would say in the building, but it's an amphitheater. Happy to get you there to see the concert. We'll give away some more tickets tomorrow and Friday as well. If you weren't caller number 6, if you didn't get a chance to call in and be caller number 6 and win the tickets, they're available at Live Nation.
You really got to switch it up now.
Yeah, we'll make it caller number 7 tomorrow.
we
can tell the story, because apparently caller number 6 today was also caller number 6 on Monday.
Yeah.
The guy that won the tickets
on
Monday.
Stop being greedy.
But also, like, pretty amazing. Like, how'd you do it? What's your secret?
Knows out there.
It's hard to call in and win a radio contest and time it just right. So you're not allowed to win twice.
Yeah.
I think there's a 30-day period if you win a radio contest. You have to wait 30 days before you can win again.
That I did not know.
I think that's true. I think that's true.
Jersey Mike's, that's true.
But so for the caller that called in twice and got through as caller number six two times this week. Congratulations. But, yeah, so Gabe actually was caller number six.
Way to go, Gabe. Way to go, Gabe. Congratulations, yeah. Brother. Congratulations as, you know, there's – I'm trying to peep through the door out here. Looks like they're about to wrap up practice right now.
All right. That means Raheem Morris is going to join us in a few minutes.
Yeah. It was funny because I was watching and, like, I'll be forgetting – Michael Pence is scout team quarterback.
Right.
And he's out there cutting up, dog. He's out there cutting up, man. And it's always different when you're a scout team quarterback because you kind of know where the play is going and everything like that.
But he's also pretty good.
But he's out there cutting it up.
I was thinking about this. They would never, they would never do this, so don't take this as me suggesting that they make a trade or do anything crazy. But the Dolphins are in a pretty bad spot with their quarterback. Like they got to make a decision. I don't even know what Tua's going to do. Even if Tua decides he wants to play some more, they got to decide if they're cool with that because the second he gets hurt, they suck.
Right.
And he gets hurt all the time.
Yes.
You know who'd be real good in that offense?
Who?
That guy.
Hell no.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
Oh, no.
He'd be terrible in that offense.
No. I'm not saying that. No, yeah. You know, I love my damn, I love them damn Dolphins.
Yeah.
Ain't no way in the hell I would give them Michael Penix. No, if I'm Miami, yeah.
If I'm Miami, I'm calling.
Yeah, but no.
They wouldn't do it.
No.
They wouldn't do it, so no.
If I'm Miami,
I'm calling because he's exactly what that offense wants.
If I, like, big arm, accurate, yes.
Yeah.
If I'm Miami, I don't know where to go. I honestly don't. I know they said that Snoop's going to start next Sunday against the New England Patriots, so they want to try to find a way to keep him, give him another week of full week of practice and all that other stuff like that. But yeah, I heard this question. They said does Mike McDaniel need Tua? Does Tua need Mike McDaniel? It seems like they can't win without Tua.
Yeah, but I think that's because of who they have behind him. You know what I mean? I think both, though.
Who else is successful a lot of times when their starting quarterback goes out?
Not a lot, but the only time that teams are successful when their starting quarterback goes out, usually, I mean, it happens occasionally.
You said it yesterday.
Yeah, when they have a young guy who's not ready yet, and they have a veteran behind him.
Yep.
Because it's already super dumbed down for the young guy,
right?
So now you let a veteran like Joe Flacco go in there who knows what to do and he's capable, or Andy Dalton go in there and he knows what to do and he's capable, or Mason Rudolph's not a veteran, but he's certainly less mistake-prone than Will Levis.
Who is
it? Yeah, everyone is. But that's what it is. Like the backup quarterback looks better, and usually that's only for a short period of
very
time.
Very rarely does it pan out like Joe Flacco had the Browns last year.
Right. And that was only six games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Nick Foles is kind of the extreme example because he wasn't a veteran. He had been around a little bit, but he wasn't really a veteran, but he came in and he won. And then there's the examples everybody gives because they're the most famous ones. You know, Kurt Warner is the backup. Starter gets hurt. He comes in and takes off, and he's a Hall of Fame guy. Okay, so Raheem's not going to join us until about 1:35. I will let Abe and Bo decide what we should do about that. Maybe we can talk until then and have him on, or we can break early and come back or whatever. You guys just let us know what you want us to do. And Tom Brady is the other example as well as the backup. But for the most part, when your backup quarterback is in, your season is over, and that's that. I don't know who they call from a Miami perspective. Again, I was thinking about it this morning because I heard someone having that same conversation of Tua's really good in this offense because he does this, this, and this.
Right.
And I was like, well, I know a guy who does that.
And they're both left-handed.
Who's not playing right now. Yeah, it happens to be left-handed as well. Again, the Falcons would not entertain that right now. I don't think the Dolphins can address that problem until the offseason anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Bryce Young, you make that call. I don't know if he can do what they need a quarterback to do down there, but he needs a change of scenery. You might be able to buy low on a number one draft pick from last year. Other than that, I don't know, draft a guy maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, what you do.
But are they going to be bad enough to pick a guy?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They
might
suck.
Be. Maybe.
They
might
lost
be
to
enough.
The Titans, man.
The damn Titans, who are a really bad football team. But I mean that goes back to a conversation me and you had was basically, are these guys playing to it? Like the thing with Jaden Daniels played 50 college football games.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played a lot of football.
Yeah, he played a lot of football.
Played a lot of football.
A lot of important football too in those years at LSU. And that's a thing, man. Like I know that people make fun of the older quarterback and things like that in this day and age in college football. there's a real correlation between guys playing a lot of games, and especially a lot of good games, like mm-hmm. big-time games in college football, and coming in and having success. Now, not always. I mean, you know, you also have to be really talented and physically able to do it and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when they do these gamble picks on guys that haven't played a lot of college football,
Anthony Richardson. It goes all the way back to – I think I'm still playing when the Jets drafted Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
Remember that? When Stafford was one, I was like, Mark Sanchez better play the USC.
Well, you remember, obviously, what the Bears did a couple years ago with Trubisky.
Yep.
He only played 13
yep.
games. And they thought, that's like, all right, you guys go ahead.
And the thing about everybody outside of analysts were like, yeah, Mr. Trubisky. Everybody was like, really?
Are you sure?
And it wasn't even about Patrick Mahomes, about over Deshaun Watson?
Or just in general.
Like really?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
like,
we were all like, really?
We've seen Deshaun play a lot of big games, and he's very good. This guy, I guess, like, you guys got the measurables and projected all that. Same thing with Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Man. Like, Trey Lance, between high school and college, had played less games than most of the guys that get drafted and at the quarterback position. And again, here we are. Where even is he?
It's amazing.
Dallas still?
I think he's the third string quarterback
string
in Dallas.
Yeah,
I think so. But that's why when you look at Kyle and San Francisco, like, not too many people can keep winning, and that happened to them.
Yep.
And they were able to find a guy. You don't find too many Brock Purdy's, you know what I mean, to come in, and it was evident. Like, remember going into the summer, you're like, well, Trey Lance and then Brock Purdy. Remember, Brock was coming off of the injury. They were like, yep. No, Brock Purdy's our quarterback. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know we drafted this guy 3 overall and gave up everything to get him, but the 7th rounder who had Tommy John surgery or whatever, that's our quarterback.
Remember when people decided to waste everyone's time for a week and asked, question if Dak Prescott should be worried about Trey Lance getting traded there?
Oh my God.
I feel like if you did that, you should have to retire.
I agree.
Like, if you wasted airtime either on TV or the radio doing that, you should have to retire. All right, we're going to take a break.
They want to see him.
We're going to come back, and the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons is going to join us. Practice went a little bit longer than expected, so we're going to take an early break. On the other side, Raheem Morris is going to join us. Thanks for being with us here on a hump day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day. Moving things around just a little bit in the final hour as we are broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. Falcons practice almost over?
It's almost over. They're in their final special teams period right now. And I remember last week, Buck, when the boys had him on, he came in on the, like, right, because obviously United have a game tonight. So they went up, like, into the pregame show. I think that was last week, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, when they had Ron. So, yeah, you never know how that's going to go.
Here's what I'll say. I don't think anybody listening is going to have a problem with them practicing a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're out there a little bit. And that's, you know, that's not a shot or anything. That's just to say it's a short week. They got a big game on Thursday night, tomorrow night. And you got to get everything tight and get everything ready before they go out there and take on Tampa. So
yeah.
If that means you and I have to sit here and just enjoy each other's company a little bit longer, without Raheem Morris stopping by yet, then we'll do that. We'll do that. There's never a shortage of things for us to discuss. Here's two things you need to know. This final segment's brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Probably not going to do an AMA today because we're just going to ask Raheem a whole bunch of stuff. Not anything. We're not going to ask him some of the crazy stuff you guys ask us.
Yeah.
We're going to ask him all kinds of stuff about the football team. Also, the final hour of the show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Upgrade your man cave at the Man Cave Store this season. ManCaveStore.com.
Oh, man, I'm laughing because we were talking earlier about the whole thing that's going on in Vegas with the Raiders and everything. And so I guess AP is at the podium. He's talking about his team. And he's rehabbing. That's what he said about the money. I don't know. He's rehabbing. Because they asked about the trade. I don't know. He's rehabbing.
Yeah, well, and Antonio Pierce had...
Worried about this as a distraction? No.
Well, it is. I mean, whether they want to talk about it or not, obviously, I'm sure they would prefer not to talk about it. They're going to trade him.
Yes.
Like, that's what's going to happen.
But that's his fault.
And then it's not going to be a distraction, but their team's going to be worse.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's his fault. Well, they beat Cleveland. But that's Cleveland. But, I mean, that's his fault. Want to go?
They beat the Ravens.
He wanted to go hang out with Derek Carr. Now, I mean.
Yes.
I know that's your boy.
That's an interesting.
Y'all might be groomsmen and everything like
yeah,
that.
That's fine. That's fine. That's an interesting thing to bring up because, like, and you're right. Friendships are very valuable,
right?
You know, and you know that's your brother, and you love him, yeah. and all that kind of stuff. But like at a certain point,
yeah.
are you really willing to risk, like? I mean, NFL careers are short.
Yes.
You're willing to, like, sacrifice yeah. years and emotions and all this for Derek Carr? Like, again, I know that's not about that. Derek Carr's his buddy. And,
yeah.
But I, like,
and then,
I don't know,
and
man.
Because you and you left Green Bay because you didn't know what Aaron Rodgers was going to do, but yet Jordan Love was in the wing.
Could still be there.
Yeah.
Catching passes from Jordan Love is pretty damn good.
I don't know. The Raiders just going to be the Raiders, man.
Instead, you're in Las Vegas catching passes from Gardner Minshew.
And Vegas is not – they say he was building a house there already before he went to Vegas.
Oh.
But everything. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Then all these – everybody keeps – well, Kansas City. There's no end hell. The Raiders are trading him to Kansas City.
No way. In
there's hell. No way in hell.
No way. In
there's
hell
no way in hell that they're doing that.
But the hard part is where are they going? I mean, I guess the Jets.
But they got to find out when because of all the cap money and everything. And you,
I saw one yesterday that I don't know. The Raiders wouldn't do this unless they were going to pay him. He doesn't care who pays him. He just wants to get paid. Trade him for Reddick. He's not playing.
For who?
For the pass rusher.
Yeah.
For Reddick.
But then it's like
he's holding out.
He's holding out for money.
Yeah.
So just pay him.
So trade for him and pay him, and then you got Crosby and Reddick.
That's nasty.
That's pretty good.
It's nasty.
That's
right
there. That's pretty
good.
I mean, he doesn't want to be there anyway.
But then you saw Garrett Wilson. He mad. He mad talking about some. We said my route. He says my route tree is less than it was with Zach Wilson. He had 1,000 yards. He doesn't have a 100-yard game this year. You know, it's like that's why I said like damn. You know, but I think that you know. Like Aaron is real old school still with as far as how he wants to run his offense. It's still guys that want to be on, you know, one side or the other.
Yeah.
Don't want motion or anything like that. And so they view it as that. And so maybe but he was really good when they used to do that.
Yeah, and again, like that may be true, but that might not mean that they want to use him less or whatever.
Right.
But that's just a wild thing to say publicly.
Yes, he
like,
said it.
To evoke the name yes. Zach Wilson
yes.
when talking about your current role yes. and your current quarterback.
Yes.
I like it because these guys say wild stuff that sort of gives – it's easier to talk about it. Like it's a little bit more salacious.
Right. Damn.
Like, these guys say way more stuff than they used to. To say that my route tree was more complicated with Zach Wilson,
damn.
People will hear it and be like, dang, that's Aaron Rodgers.
I don't get it, man. You know? I don't get it. But, hey, we live in a land of jersey exchanges after every damn game.
And podcasting.
Podcasting buddies going on vacation with each other.
And coaches that are on social media.
Yes.
I do think that's – like, I don't think coaches should be on social media.
Why?
Because what's the point?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? You're just gonna because Antonio Pierce yes. that said that Devontae Adams could get traded,
right?
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like you can't do that. You can't be doing that. Raheem's not on social media, is he?
Oh no, I don't know if Rod's in the age dynamic of just Facebook.
So I'll give you the the only thing I had the.
Please say MySpace.
No, I had the Instagram.
Oh,
but we got it during COVID
uh-huh.
when Q was just like keeping in touch with the players.
Uh-huh.
So it's on the phone. I just don't know how to use it.
You don't know how to use Instagram, Ra?
No. I'm a grown man, man. I ain't got time.
Oh, whatever, man. Whatever.
Great answer. It's a great answer. Falcons head coach Raheem Morris is sitting down with us here as we are broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. I want to know this because you're a very optimistic, positive guy. When we hear short week, everyone always talks about the negatives and the hard parts of the short week. Is there anything you like about playing on Thursday night and a short week?
Yeah, it's like a little bit of chess piece for all the coaches. How do you prepare your team? Who does it the best? You know, so I take a little bit of pride in that, you know, listening to my guys. And like I told you, like I believe you guys asked us when we got the job the first time, like what was one of the better things and what's different about now? And I think I told you guys the listening skills.
Yeah.
So being able to listen to people that's know performance, know what it's like, and be able to apply that to how you want to practice and prepare the guys, I think is a big part of it. So, like, that's the pride I take into it. Like, that little bit of a chess piece of getting people ready, having the bank reps that you possibly got that you've been banking throughout the season to be able to get these guys ready to go, likable and learnable things that we talk about as far as being able to learn and go. So, I love it, man. It's just a part of what it is at this point.
Right. I know old school ways. We said when it was 16 games, I know you got the one, we would pretty much break everything down in quarters, first quarter, second, all those different things. I don't know if you're but if you did, how because this is the first game of week five, how would you rate your first quarter of the season?
You know, I think you don't have to do that anymore. Right. You know, like the first quarter of the season is ranked by your record.
Right.
Like that's the most important part, right? And you're 500, and you're right in the cusp of where you want to be, and you still got room to improve and grow. And like I told the team, and like what the team's been kind of talking about is like, we just got to become better versions of ourselves in each quarter. However you want to look at it. So, like, this next quarter, let's expect a better version of what we were in the first quarter. Like, and let's keep thinking, building blocks and keep going that way. And that's the only way, really, I know how to do it.
What's the – I know there's a lot of different things that are important. But if you would, what's the most important thing the team needs to do in this next quarter to improve offensively?
In my opinion, is to turn the time of possession game over a little bit. Right. And if you can do that, that's not just an offensive stat. That's a team stat. That becomes from defense, that becomes from field position, and that starts with us maintaining possession throughout it and staying on track. So, like, if we can flip the field position – excuse me, if we can flip the time of possession battle and get that more in our favor, that gives us a better chance to win.
Right. Is there a, like, obviously those are the things, like, you look at paper, third down conversion, all those different things, but as far as the play on the field, is there, like, a little thing that if they just – if you and your team just get that little thing corrected, that can be a possibility of flipping that time of possession like you want?
You know how it is. This, you know, just like I said the other day, still in the saying, the game of inches, right, from Al Pacino, but, like, it really is that, right? If you get better on third down on both sides of the ball, that little thing makes you that much better. I was telling the team this morning, I believe we got a little bit better this week. We went 36% out of whatever it was, 4 of 11, whatever the case may be. You get two more of those, which we were very possible to get. You 56 and you're number one in the league.
Right.
Is that small of a difference? Is that small of a metric? But that metric helps you change some of the things we just talked about, time possession, plays for your offense, staying out there, playing a little bit of soccer with these guys, keeping people away, staying out of those possessions where you got to go win it at the end. Like, those are the things that all matter.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Talking about the improvement that's been made so far, obviously week by week you're trying to do that. What do you feel like this group, I mean, we can go offense, defense, and special teams, the whole team, you can split it up one by one however you want, but what do you feel like this team is better at today than you guys were week one against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think it's just been glaring. You know, obviously the offense improved a little bit every single week, right? The first week versus Pittsburgh, not very good. The second week you come out, get a big win, finish in a two-minute drive and do those things. The next week you come out, you play a really competitive game versus the world champs. The next week you come out, you get a big-time win versus division opponent, where you're able to go out there and not score points, but move the ball, probably the best you've done all season, right? And defensively has been pretty consistent, but we got to find out how to stop the run on our terms, right? This week we stopped it in the second half. We weren't able to stop it in the first half, right? What other weeks it might have been flipped. So you got to figure out ways to be more consistent on those things. And the same thing goes to special teams. Special teams have been pretty consistent, man.
Yes.
Talking about people scoring touchdowns and
yep.
making huge plays and blocking field goals and doing all the things they've done. It's been fun to watch, and it's been fun to watch those guys get better.
How do you get this pass rush revved up? I mean, I know obviously you get a sack in every game except for the last one or something like that. But how do you get that pass rush going? Because of the fact that, you know, you want to play the two high shell and all those different things, but you got to get the pressure from the front.
Hey, but it all depends on the game.
Okay,
right. We haven't been in those sack games, right? We've been in run fest versus Pittsburgh.
Right.
You come out quarterback run game versus Philly.
Right.
You go to Patrick Mahomes, smartest guy in the world, knows how not to get hit, get the ball out of his hand. And then last week, you have the game that we had last week with those guys, and it's like you got to get into the position of getting to the time of possession, getting a two-score lead, doing some of those things so you can rub the pass rush. So, like, the opportunities for the pass rush, we need to get more. We need to accumulate more. And that's how you kind of do that.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here, Midday Show with Andy and Randy. One thing that we've talked a lot about the last couple of years, and I want to get your perspective on it because you're in an incredibly unique position to be one of the 32 people in the world that gets to actually be in charge of one of these teams. For a long time, certain situations were handled a certain way in the NFL. These fourth and shorts in the red zone, going for points, taking the points, or going for it on fourth down, whatever, going for two.
Madden football has completely ruined the game.
What's on the card, Rod? That's what we want to know. What's on the card?
I just want to know. Like, obviously, take it. And if you really believe that about Madden football, that would be incredible.
You started it, man, because you started going for it on fourth down every time in Madden.
Oh, so I know.
You're the reason, Andy.
But you guys, there's also a reason why you would never hire me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing this and you're doing that. I just wonder, in those situations, how much of that stuff is predetermined based on the numbers and the history and all that, and how much of that is I'm Raheem Morris. I know how this game is going today, and I'm going with what I think is right now.
I think all of the above. You know, you got to go into it and have a plan and what it looks like, what that card that Randy was so nicely joking about, what that says, what the analytics say, in certain situations, where you're at in the field, time of the game. All of those things are factors. But at the end of the day, there's still a decision maker, and that is one of the 32 people you just talked about. So you got to make those decisions based off of that and be willing to deal with the results. And I think the comfort in all of our skins of doing that is pretty high. And I think that's a part of what it is, right? We all got tough skin, right? Gunfighters get shot mentality, right? So you go out there, you figure out what it is, you see what the analytics say, you know, what those little birds are whispering in your ear, what you should do in these moments, in these critical situations, and then you got to pull the trigger and go. And I think that's been the thing that we've been pretty decisive on doing. I think when you're indecisive is the times you can make the mistakes.
Right, you got a tough opponent. Obviously, this game is for first place. I know it's early, but still it's for the first place in the South. Tell me a little bit about this game as far as you're trying to get your team ready for this Tampa game.
You know, I just think it's really about the South. You know, I don't think it's about first place. I think about second place because it's all being so close. It's so right. Early. But I do think it's about the dominance of the South. I do think it's about playing for this division. And, you know, we didn't make any secret about it. You know, we're absolutely trying to win the division. And I don't think it's bad to say that. You know, like, I think those guys want to win it too. And I think they were the champions from last year, and rightfully so. They want to go out there and reclaim that thing and get to the playoffs and do some of those different things. But, man, this thing's about winning. This thing's about highly competitive people going out there doing highly competitive things. And, like, we are fired up to go out there and play against division opponents. And that is always the case.
You were in L.A. when Baker Mayfield got there a couple years ago, right?
Yes.
He was at a very different part of his career at that point, for sure. What has he done? Like, how has he evolved over the last couple of years to go from a guy that was a few different teams, kind of bouncing around a little bit? Now he's the franchise guy in Tampa, and he's playing a lot better. What has he done to do that?
It was really weird for me what happened to him in Cleveland, because, I mean, the year before, he had led those guys to the playoffs and almost beat Patrick Mahomes in, I don't know if it was the AFC Championship or the game before.
Divisional, I think it was.
Divisional round. And, you know, let's not kid ourselves. The guy got hurt, right? And he played the whole year with basically a bad shoulder. And didn't look as good as you're going to look. And they moved on. And then he ended up going to Carolina. Didn't work out there. But we got fortunate enough in L.A. to get him. And when we got him, he was healthy as can be. And he really revitalized a team that was struggling. Because we had lost Matthew Stafford. We had gone through a couple of different quarterbacks. And he came in there, really settled us down. Got us a couple wins down the stretch. Really breathed life into the organization again. Breathed life into our head coach. And made our offense go. Won a bunch of games with him. And I really enjoyed him because of the competitive guy that he is. And he plays the exact same way his personality is. And he's competitive. He's a go-getter. He's tough. And he's a winner. And he's really won, you know, really everywhere he's been. You know, just – and it's no different than what he's doing right now. Like, you can – obviously nitpick holes in everybody's game, but like, Baker's a tough competitor, highly competitive guy that's found ways to win wherever he's been.
Real quick, when you talk, go back a little our earlier conversation, when you talk about flipping the time of possession, that usually means more plays.
Mm-hmm.
More plays means more opportunities for other
exactly.
players to get involved, because I know that's been the whole thing with Kyle and not getting the ball and everything like that, but more plays allows you to get more balls to him. More plays allows you to get more carries to Tyler Algier. How important is, I mean, when we talk about complementary football, how much does that play into the fact?
100%. Randy, everybody, when you come out of those games, they want you to run the ball, give it to Bijan 30. Well, you can't give it to Bijan 30 if you're only getting 50 snaps. You know, you'd like to, you know. And then you want to get the ball to Tyler. You want to get the ball to Mooney. You want to get the ball to Drake. You want to get the ball to Kyle. And you got to be able to do those things. And the only way you can do that is to accumulate more snaps every single week. And the rationing is going to be different every single week, depending right. on who you plan and how they played and really how the quarterback saw the overall picture. So, like, I don't think you can focus on those things as a coach. I think you got to focus on getting the guys open, doing what they do best, getting those guys out there and taking what they give you a little bit until they make a mistake. And when they make a mistake, you got to capitalize and take advantage of it.
And I know stats are for losers. I'm not trying to be a loser. And this isn't even a box score question. It's not about targets and catches and all that kind of stuff. This is just about 60 minutes on Sunday when he's on the field. Are you getting what you hope to be getting from Kyle Pitts on a weekly basis?
Kyle Pitts is giving me everything he has. And last week, he gave me a bunch of stuff from an effort standpoint, from blocking. I wish he would have caught those two passes that we threw to him. The one he did catch got nullified by a penalty. And it could have been one of those days where it was 3 for 40, and we wouldn't have this conversation if he's able to catch those three catches. But it wasn't. And now that's the subject. That's the subject matter. That's what we got to deal with because of Instagram, right? Hey, and that's what you got to hear about now. Randy used to go game. Randy used to go three games in a row, not have a catch.
That's not even true, right?
Nobody said anything.
That's not even true. I went one game,
Andy,
Rob.
Let's pull up the stat sheet, Andy.
Rob, I went one game. All right, I went one game, and I was double teamed the whole time.
I was double teamed.
I don't need stats. I'm going off what he said.
It was one game. All right, it's one game.
Stats are for losers.
2003, and I got double teamed the whole time.
Randy was out there in 13 personnel, didn't get a catch.
That was later on. That was San Diego. That was San Diego. I thought you were talking about the other years, man.
That's what he was playing with.
He was trying to. Randy was trying to get small so he could run the ball on Rondé Barber, man.
Hey, well, I mean, he was small, man. And I did go to the sideline, coach. Coach, let's throw it up, coach. All right, Rondé's 5'8", man.
Oh, one last one from me. Congratulations to him for being NFC Defensive Player of the Week last week. How's Troy Andersen doing?
Troy is doing good, but Troy's going to be labeled out. You know, he hurt himself the other day. I forget exactly what it was, but, yeah, he'll be out. And, you know, it's tough for him. That's one of his best games, right? Talking about a breakout performance and being able to go out there and score a touchdown. I can't even tell you how many tackles he had. He had more tackles than Randy had receptions. But,
see, I mean, hold on. I ain't going to be catching strays now, right? All right? Okay? All right.
We're on the radio having fun,
I'm still the all-time leader.
Hey, there's no doubt.
Right?
There's no
doubt. Okay? All right. Hey,
we talking about old Randy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, this is old Randy right here.
No,
that was young Randy.
You know, obviously he had a great game and was all over the place, scored a touchdown, did a bunch of things the right way. Really was part of that second half rally of shutting people down and really doing the right stuff. So, like, he's going to be missed. But we got to get a chance to see some of those guys step up and some of the guys we've been talking about. You got the young captain and the young Captain America, and get him out there and let him go.
Captain America.
Thank you, Coach.
Hey, Coach, appreciate you, baby.
Thanks, guys. Randy was a heck of a player, man. I'm just kidding.
But he knows this. Appreciate it, Coach.
We were in here rooting against Mike Gesicki a couple years ago, though, weren't we?
Yeah, because he almost had my record.
Yeah,
all right,
Ross. He almost broke your record. We're like, we don't need any more Mike Gesicki catches.
Yes, I did. Hey, I know records are meant to be broken, Coach, but I didn't want mine broken.
Yeah, man. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll see what Dukes and Bell have for you. We'll wrap things up here.
Before wrap?
Actually, we will not. All that is going to do it for Andy and Randy. We'll let you hear a little bit more from Raheem tomorrow. We'll replay some of that and react to what he had to say. Thanks for being with us. I know it's weird. Yeah. I wasn't expected to rap. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate
it. Take it easy.
Everybody have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 11.